We're back, listeners, and it's time for another episode of the Novel Expressions Book Club. I'm Natalie, the funny sister.
I'm Jess, the sweet sister.
Ooh, I'm Pam, the oldest sister. I just can't give myself a description.
There's too many good words you could use. There's just too many options. The good hair sister tonight, for sure.
Okay.
And I'm Nancy, their amazing mom.
That was easy for mom. Too easy for mom.
I had to limit myself to one word.
Maybe I should have just said humble.
Yeah. There you go. I like that. Today we are discussing The Girl You Left Behind by JoJo Moyes. And I don't have anything else I'd like to say as introduction, so let's dive in.
Well, I want to talk about the impossible situation that Sophie found herself in. Her husband's gone. She's got these Germans staying in her house. And she decides that she's going to trade her virtue, I guess you could say, for the chance to be able to get Edward out of the prisoner camp that he's in. And no one can understand why she did what she did. And I am so glad that the chance she took to believe in the Commandant's promise was not misplaced, because otherwise she gave up everything for nothing.
I think Sophie's story was my favorite story of the two to read. And the whole part where the Germans came in and decided that she was going to have to cook for them, and then they started bringing in all of this food that Sophie and her sister had to cook, but they weren't supposed to have any of it, and they are starving, and their siblings and kids are starving. That whole part of it was just so revolting to me, and the fact that it actually happened in history just makes me feel so sad.
Absolutely.
I will say that the whole pig scene was amazing. Like, that was so good. And that he, like, knew but didn't, you know, make a big thing of it was fantastic.
And honestly, I didn't figure it out until afterwards.
Yeah.
I thought
I had read it before and I didn't figure it out until afterwards.
It was like, oh yeah, that's right. She had the pig there. I thought that was funny. So of her family members, the person I was the most disappointed in was Aurelian. How could he turn his back on his sister like that? How could he just, I mean, he saw the impossible situation they were in. And how she had saved him from getting beaten up even more and maybe taken away.
The problem was he was young and he was immature and just emotional, not thinking clearly. It was really sad because I think that even though Sophie felt betrayed by him, I think she also felt sad for him because she felt like responsible for her family, even though she's not even the oldest, and just felt like, she had failed them, you know? I don't know. I think now what bothered me more is to find out that even in his adulthood, he was still that way about her.
That's exactly my point. My point is, okay, a 14-year-old, 15-year-old teenage boy, yeah, that can be forgiven. But a grown adult man who can look at that and see it from a mature perspective and to want to have nothing to do with her, and for Hélène to have to go behind his back to try to have contact with her, that's just awful.
That's the part that's really sad to me, is like, it all worked out. Like, she got out and she was okay and he never got to know that.
And she was with Edward. I mean, she got to be with the man that she traded everything for, which was so satisfying.
I think he's one of those types of people that when something like that happens, he let it fester. And it turned him into this bitter, hard man. And it sounds like was it his son or his grandson that was in that nursing home that talked about him?
I think his son.
His son, okay.
And so he was 80, yeah.
Yeah, so when he was talking about him, it sounded like he was just that kind of man in general, like kind of a harsh father, just a harsh person overall, not just a Sophie.
So maybe what happened during the that occupation had really turned him into that bitter person, and he couldn't leave it.
That's what I think. I think it's kind of like PTSD type situation. Like it shaped his personality because of the age he was and the, you know, and it was unfortunate because his son clearly saw it, you know, had some sense about it, saw it differently, despite how his dad had talked about it. The other thing is he might have Aurelian might have had more of his dad's personality because Sophie and Helene talked about what their father was like.
Yeah, that's true.
He was not a nice man.
That's true.
Right, I forgot about that. Yeah.
He was not a nice man.
Well, I forgot basically all of this book. Like, we've read it before. I did not remember very much, if any of it. Like, maybe the painting. That was about all I had.
Yeah, the painting was something that you didn't forget. That was... Mm-hmm. So, well...
And well, so... kind of funny with that is something I wrote down. So I remembered quite a bit of the Sophie story, much better than the Liv part, which we'll talk about. But what I forgot about it, it's kind of funny because of what you guys just said, what I forgot is that the painting was called what the book is called. Right. That's part of the reason that we remember it, maybe.
Well, I had forgotten so much of this book that I was so nervous about how it was going to end. I was just, I couldn't remember if Sophie survived. So I was like, all those, oh, I just was so scared for her. And then when Lillianne dies or kills herself, it just, oh, it was so hard.
Yeah, that was really sad, especially then when you see that she is being let free and it makes you go like, well, would Lillianne have been let free as well? Like, could she have gone on? You know, it's just horrible. But I'm very happy that we got to know that Edouard and Sophie got to be together. I, however, would have really liked to know what became of them beyond what we did learn about like 5 or 6 years after. Like, did they go? Did they leave somewhere? Did something happen? I wish we knew.
Yeah. Think about, you guys mentioned, how did you say her name? Lillianne?
I called her Lillianne. I don't really
know. Okay, I was never quite sure in my head how to say it, but.
No, I know that Sophie's sister's name is Alain. Because when I was in French class in high school, that's what my name was, and it's pronounced Hélène. And it's
I shouldn't have said Helene.
That's what I was saying. I was definitely Heléning.
Yeah, well, and I took French in high school and did not remember.
Worse. That's worse then.
Well, that was all your French totally teacher. Worse. 4 years I had that name, so I had to remember to put the accent marks in two
that
different.
That makes classes. Sense. Yeah, yeah, if it was your name. But so what I was going to say is, think about it. When Lillianne, however you say it, okay, think about it. She shot herself kind of in response to Sophie wouldn't go. They had their chance to sneak away and Sophie wouldn't go. And so she kind of like flips out and does it. What if Sophie had gone?
Right.
She really was on her way to Edouard and she believed that.
That's true.
She was right.
That is true.
Of the two main characters, I definitely preferred Sophie over Liv. And I think Mama and I always feel this same way about these characters. The ones who are like scrappy and gutsy and they're like the underdogs, but they're fighting back. Those kinds of characters, they're just my favorite. And Nat had mentioned the whole pig scene. The fact that she asked the commandant to help her release her husband, which is totally unheard of. And you know, she was willing to do whatever. Her character was so, so good.
I think she was perceptive enough to know that there was some thin line of humanity in the commandant. You know, that because they had connected on a personal level, we're talking about art and that kind of thing, and because he was so enamored with her, that I think it was a calculated risk that she took. Yes, it was risky, but I think that she knew that there was at least a slim chance that he would go for it.
I think the pig situation helped that because the fact that he knew and he let her off showed her. And there are probably a couple other examples that I can't come up with.
Well, how about him letting them have extra food? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he didn't have to do that. He could have been a jerk like all the other commandants had been towards other people.
And he told her a couple times, I know things. Mm-hmm. Like, I know. You know, he probably knew about that secret wall.
Yeah.
He probably, you know, he just.
He knew things.
Mm-hmm. Knew about the Christmas party.
Right. I will say it's pretty impressive of JoJo too, because I think a lot of times when we think about soldiers during that time period, particularly German ones, we just automatically think like evil, but obviously they're all human. And he did, like mom said, he had a sliver of humanity in him, even though he seemed a lot of times like he was bad. And I think JoJo did a good job of showing both of those. And I didn't necessarily ever hate him, but I also never loved him. And I think it's because of the way she had us, you know, going back and forth with the things he was doing.
Well, anytime you have somebody who is in total power, it's hard to love them.
Right.
When a person has to deal with a person who's in complete power, that person has no power. And so they don't get to make decisions based on what they want to do. And that it's hard to like someone who's like that. So
I didn't like Liv. I'm just going to rip the Band-Aid on that one. I had a really hard time with her story and just feeling like she was, she'd been through a lot, but she was just like, get your life in order, chick. I'm not very empathetic. I don't know if y'all can tell. Not my strong suit.
I also was not a huge fan of her, but I'm kind of wondering. So I noticed that it took a long time, it felt like, to meet Liv. I honestly had forgotten that there were two main characters in the book because so much of the beginning was about Sophie. And so I wonder if maybe one of the reasons why I didn't like her as much is I was so invested in Sophie by the time we got to Liv's story that I was like, okay, be done with this so I can go back to Sophie and learn more about her because I love her.
And guess what? That happened in the last book too. So this reminded me very much of JoJo's book, The Last Letter from Your Lover, because it was all about Jennifer? Yeah.
Yeah.
It was all about Jennifer for so long. And then we meet Ellie. And I think some of us said that last time too. I just didn't like her as much, you know? So I think it is, could be part of it, why you might have felt that way about her. I won't say that I loved Liv, but I found myself empathizing with her a lot, just like feeling for her and really thinking about, okay, for one thing, what it would be like to lose your husband like that. So when she and Paul were first dating, there was this one particular line that struck me. So the night she wanted to have him over, you know, for the first time, and she does all this stuff to prepare, and then she changed her plans and she has this realization that says, somehow she can see that in the previous 48 hours, Paul McCafferty had stopped being a person in her imagination and started to become an idea, a thing, the symbol of her moving on. It was too much weight for something so new. Mm-hmm. And I felt for her because she was really having a hard time with almost like feeling like she was betraying her late husband, even though she really liked Paul, you know, and really was interested and really enjoyed being with him. And he became this, he's not just Paul anymore. I'm moving on. And therefore that's bad. Like this is representing something bad. So that struck me as just something that I felt for her in dealing with that. And then later and I had totally forgotten about this. I mean, we knew he died, but I couldn't really remember. But later when she shares with, much later, when she shares with Paul about her husband dying, and she says, can you imagine knowing you slept through the person you love most dying next to you? Knowing that there might have been something you could have done to help him, to save him, not knowing if he was looking at you, silently begging you to, and she leaves off. And I thought, oh my gosh, she didn't just lose her husband. This was extremely traumatic. Like, she wakes up and he's blue in bed beside her. And she's thinking, was he reaching for me, trying to get my attention, you know, need my help? I don't know. So that one messed me up a little bit. And so I think because of those things, I just had some empathy for her.
One of the things that was hard though, was that you knew that if that painting really was stolen, it didn't belong in her house. And so that was
and
the hard.
She didn't know definitively.
Right.
She didn't, but she came to a point where she had a pretty good idea that Sophie had given it, and she didn't want to taint Sophie's reputation.
But that was well after she started the fight.
Mm-hmm.
when she started the fight, she had no idea. It was her painting and she was mad at Paul and she thought he had set her up and she was digging her heels in.
Yeah, agreed. But at the same time, she felt like it was hers. Her husband had given that to her for a gift. She felt like it was hers. And I think it was pretty clear to everyone that the Lefevre, as Marianne says, right. That they didn't really care about the painting. Right. And that was one thing that was tough, is that she really did care about the painting. You know, but I know it was.
But on the flip side, you have that other, you know, the other family that Paul was dealing with, where as soon as they got it back, they wanted to sell it. And it's like, mm-hmm. it's not really anyone else's decision if right. they actually care about it, if it actually belongs to them.
True. And that's very true.
The Lefevre family was Edouard's family.
Right. Yeah.
When really, because he had given it to her, he had given it to Sophie, it should have been Sophie's family who had claimed mm-hmm. not the Lefevre family.
Right. I agree. That's what I kept thinking too. I kept thinking, like, I don't understand why it's just about them, but I guess because she married into the family, that was her name. That well, was
because
the family.
He was a famous, because he was the famous person, and now it was worth something.
Yeah.
You know, if it had never become popular, it never would have been an issue.
Right. Now, I do agree. I was like, when she was going to go all in, fight, mortgage, I was like, you're crazy. You're stupid. What are you doing? Like, but I really think it was, and we see this, we see people do this, so emotionally charged, like so not thinking clearly mm-hmm. because she just got stuck on, and Paul was a good voice of reason for her in that. Like, I'm just worried that for this piece of art, but it was so much more to her. I think she was probably being, it's hard because I think she was probably being a little silly at that point. But at the same time, I kept thinking, would there be something that I'd be like that about? You know, I don't know. I haven't been in her situation, so it's hard to know how I'd behave.
Maybe like your kids, I guess. No, I'm just kidding.
Maybe. One or two of them.
Who's going to claim them?
Right, who's going to fight
for trying to get them?
That's right. I will say, as much as I didn't like Liv, I really liked Paul. I thought Paul was a little bit reminiscent of Ambulance Sam, another JoJo character, just in that, like, his steady Eddie sort of reasonable, I'll be here, whatever, like, however you can do this, you know, not pushing, just very even-keeled type of guy.
Well, I loved Mo. What a cool character she was. But I will say that inviting her to stay at her house after just reconnecting with her, I thought was a little bit risky. But boy, she turned out to be a good friend.
I think she was necessary to help balance Liv out, because obviously Liv was really struggling, and Mo just kind of pulled her out of her shell a little bit, made her think about other things besides the fact that she had lost her husband, and they were, you know, good kind of side by side together.
She also cracked me up, the clay model of Paul after that went down, and she's like having her stab it. That was just funny, like a funny cathartic thing. But also, I think she was a good friend in that she said what people wouldn't say, mm-hmm. you know, that Liv needed to hear, like right before she moved out, when she said some things to her about the house and that kind of thing. And I think a lot of times people aren't, like, we're good friends, but we sometimes don't say the hard stuff, you know? And I think it's important to sometimes say the hard stuff.
Yeah, I didn't put this in any of our outlines, but I was thinking about this earlier. I was glad too, in the courtroom scene, when they found that piece of, when she went to that house and found that, or when Paul went to the house and found that piece of evidence, that was not the deciding factor, that blew up in their faces too, because it would have been just too neat and tidy if at the last minute he finds some evidence that, you know, lets her keep the painting. And I liked the fact that even though it was brought up in court, there was more to add to that seemed to counter that. And so then he still had to go back and do some more digging to find the old woman and get her to testify. So I really liked that part.
I just like to quickly comment that I find the British legal system very confusing. Like, she had a lawyer, but then there was a barrister. Like, what's, I don't understand.
I mean, how about the fact that they put wigs on?
Right. Yeah. the show, what's the show that I told you to watch recently? Broadchurch. There's like a legal situation in there and it's set in the UK. And they legit have like their little boxes that they have their little wigs in.
It's so weird. So strange.
The other thing that I really loved was the phrase, not taken, but given, that was used in this story. Obviously, that was what was written on the back of the painting. It was the point that that Sophie tried making to Hélène and also to the commandant. And I thought that was, I think there's something to be said about, you know, that it's that idea of you have the power to do, to just make that decision. And like we were talking about before, it's hard to like someone when they have all the power. But if you, even if you feel like it's the only way out, you still have the power to decide yes or no. And I really like that phrase anyway.
I also really liked when Liv's dad told her that sometimes carrying on is heroic in itself. Because I think a lot of times, you know, people don't necessarily have the grit and so they give up in certain things. And you don't realize just how hard it is to sometimes just keep going even when life knocks you down.
Yep, true. Some people get stuck.
Mm-hmm.
Can't go on.
And P.S., her dad was hilarious, walking around naked all the time.
You like, would like that.
I kind of was a little bit envious of him, to be honest. Like, that's what I would like to do in my house if I wasn't going to be judged.
A couple more years, right?
I might be able to, yeah. Just don't pop over unannounced, ladies.
Mom would be down for it. Mom would come and be like, I'm in.
I might wear my dickie and nothing else.
Wait, your real dickie or your homemade dickie?
No, my homemade dickie because it's
even better.
I'm definitely not popping in.
Oh my goodness. Wow. What an end to a discussion. Anything else we want to talk about with this one? All right. What's next?
All right, we are going to do one more JoJo book. So in 2 weeks, please join us again where we share our thoughts on the book called The Peacock Emporium by JoJo Moyes. In the meantime, please also give our podcast an awesome review and tell everyone you know to listen.
Until we read again.